Today's daf from Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Dalet. We'll pretend that yesterday didn't happen and that I didn't accidentally run through this whole thing. So we're in the middle of a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Remember that the simple klolim that we had up until now is that if you have equal access, then nobody's allowed to use it without an Erev. So if you've got two chatzeros, then we had the case of the Mishnah, we've got a wall between them. Neither of them can use that wall. If you've got a ditch between them, neither of them can use the ditch. But the general rule was that in the event that you've got an easier usage to one and a more difficult usage to the other, so then the one that has the easier usage is granted the rights to use it, and the other one doesn't use it. So then we had a whole discussion yesterday of how that works in terms of more detailed questions than just the overall idea, easier and more difficult. So we distinguished yesterday between zrika, where you have to stretch upwards to use something, between a petach, which means you have an easy access directly, and between shilshul, where you're going to be needing to lower something in order to use it. And the zrika meant that by definition, it would be at least 10 tefachim high. The shilshul means that it's at least 10 tefachim beneath your ground level, and the noach is that you have it within your rishus. The question that we bumped into yesterday that we weren't unable to find a clear-cut answer is there such a thing as a relative noach versus kasha in the case where one uses it b'shilshul and the other one uses it b'zrika? So according to Shmuel, there's such a thing as relative nochiyut. And since it's easier to use b'shilshul than it is to use it b'zrika, we give it to the one that was b'shilshul. Rav says there's no such thing as relative. Once it's out of reach, it's out of reach. That's where we were in the middle of yesterday. We brought a number of rayas from the Mishnah. We ended up showing that the interpretation of the Mishnah did not support the rayas to Shmuel against Rav. So let's start again from the case of the psela and the bar. So tnan. So this would bring us up to three lines up from the middle of the daf. Tnan. We're trying to bring a raya from the fact that the Mishnah mentioned a case where you have a rock, a pillar made of a big rock in the brishas of the chutzar on the bottom. And there was the people that were living in the repeset on top. And one case was a rock, made perfectly good sense. If it was within 10 of the chutzar, then the chutzar has direct access. If it's within 10 of the merpeset, then the merpeset has direct access, and the chutzar does not, because it's above 10 for the chutzar. That's fine, but then we brought another case, and the other case is disturbing. The other case was the case where we had a bor, and the bor was surrounded by a chulia, so that's that the building that you build around the bor. I wish I knew what the word was for the for that. I know there's a special word for a chulia around the bor in English. I just can't come up with it. So you have the area around the bor, which is now, we're treating it the same as we're treating the rock. If it's within 10 of the bottom, it can be used by the bottom. If it's within 10 of the top, but above 10 of the bottom, it can be used by the top. All right. The problem is that it introduces a new issue. The new issue that it introduces is the fact that when we utilize a bor, we usually utilize it in order to get stuff out of its bottom, not out of the area above the stones that surround the bor, right? So apparently what we're saying is that since for the upper merpeset, it's easy for them to lower a bucket into the bor and to bring water up out of that bor, and it's more difficult for the people in the lower chutzar because they have to first lift the bucket over the edge of the bor, we are going to give it to the people on top. Right now, this is no longer a case of a petach lezeh and a zrika lezeh. It's a case of shilshul lezeh and zrika lezeh. Nonetheless, we're giving to the merpeset, which seems to be a clear raya to the idea of Shmuel that we have relative nochiyut. Otherwise, the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. So, how are we going to explain it according to Rav? So, let's take a look again inside. So, tenach sela bor ma'ikalamim. We're talking about a bor where the water comes all the way to the top. So then it's not really saying anything about going into the bar. What is that supposed to mean, Sister Gemara? I mean, you're going to be drawing water out of the bar. So it's not, it can't always be at the top. So what does this mean? Ah, but the idea is that since at the beginning of Shabbos, it was full. So we treat it for the whole Shabbos. It's okay. Excuse me? The rule until now has been that something that is not assumed to be able to be there all Shabbos, like the case of the ladder that was serving as the petach, remember, if it's an easy-to-move aluminum ladder, so we said that then it doesn't count as a mir. It's the same thing would be true over here. You've got water in the bar, but you're going to be drawing the water, so the water is going to be chaser, right? So then we should, on the contrary, we should treat it as chaser from the beginning. Ella says, Abaye, we're not talking about a bar with water. We're talking about a bar that's full of apples. So, understand? So, people eat the apples. What's the difference between apples and water? Ah, obviously, because apples, you could say that we're talking about Tevel apples, and Tevel apples are muksa, and therefore they're not going to be chasra. Okay. So then, if that's the case, we get into the same conversation. Oh, they're not going to be chasra. So then it's exactly the same case as the cella. So why are we repeating ourselves? You're talking about a cella that consists of stone or a cella that consists of muktzah apples. I mean, it's basically all the same thing, isn't it? So why mention it? And the answer is simple. Because if it would have said cella, I said, okay, a cella, there's no reason to be gozer that it's going to change. But if you're telling me you're allowed to abuse a boar in the event that the apples are tevel, I mean, does it make sense to say that people are going to assume that you can use a bor even if it's filled with water, or even if it's used with apples that are not tevel? Maybe we should make a gezeira and say, look, if there's a big hole that's in the middle of this chulia, that then, of course, we would not allow you to use it, and we should answer it, right? Kamash malan, but there's no gezeira. That's why we need to mention both. Okay, so tricha. Toshma, now we've got another case. Anshe Chotzer v'Anshe Aliyah, where they were without an Erev. So then the din is like this. On the wall between the lower story and the upper story, who gets to use the wall? How exactly to use a wall? With magnetic soles? No. You use the wall by having a shelf on the wall, obviously. So it depends where the shelf is. So if the shelf is on the lower 10 tefachim of the wall, then it goes to the people in the chutzner. If the shelf is in the upper 10 tefachim of the wall, so then it goes to the people who live on top. And they can use that part of the wall. So ketzad, ziz yotzei min hakotel. So if you have a shelf sticking out of the wall, if it's lamata me'asura, it goes to the chutzner. If it's lamala me'asura, it goes to the people living on the second story. Now, that implies that all of the area between the lower shelf and the upper shelf, what would be the din? It would be aser. Why would it be aser? Well, because it's not within direct range of a petach of either. Ah, but it certainly is going to be used by the upper people through lowering something onto it, and by the lower people through lifting something. So then that means where we have a reshus that is to one bezrika. Remember, we use the word zrika as a technical term for needing to lift. And one bishulshul. That's the technical term for those who need to put it downwards. And according to that, we're saying beferish that, get rid of the mosquitoes here. We're saying beferish, nasty mosquito, it already got me. So it's saying over here beferish, it's usher to both of them. Who is the Mandi Amro who said it's usher to both of them? Rav. Exactly a raya against Shmuel who claims that if it's the one bezrika and one b'shulshul, that will give it to the one that is b'shulshul. And here we see clearly that that is not the halacha at all. Answers the Gemara, well, not necessarily. Says, Nachum, what if the wall that we're talking about is only 19 tefachim high? In which case, there is no area beni-beni. The choice is either to give it to the lower or to give it to the upper. We may not be discussing a case where there is a middle. So Achmai Eskinan, where the kotel is entirely 19 tefachim, v'ziz yatsumi menu, and now we have to determine if it's below 10 or it's above 10. That's the only thing to discuss. So if it's a matam yasura, Then for one, it's with a petach. Again, remember, technical term petach means direct access. And to the other one, it's by lowering. If it's l'malam yasara, so then it's a petach to the upper ones. And then it's the technical term of zrika, by raising to the ones that are underneath. That's where we got up to. And so far, we don't have any raya, not to Rav and not to Shmuel. Can we find a raya? Says the Gemara, yes. How about this case? We've got a case of Toshma. I would say, if we're dealing with the following situation, where you have Shtei Gizus Tra'ot, Zulam Alamizu. Now, we spoke about the Venice story, remember? And in Venice, you wanted to draw the water from the canal directly onto your little balcony that's jutting out over the canal. So what did we say you should do? So we said you can make a little hole in the bottom of your mirpeset, and then you could take an old refrigerator box, which is 4x4, and you can either put it on top of that hole, you can put it hanging underneath that hole. So then what you've got is essentially these mechitzas from the refrigerator box are sticking down underneath that hole, above the water, obviously, maybe 20 feet above the water, 30 feet above the water, I don't care. That's called a mechitza tluya. And the place where the chachamim were mater mechitza tluya was specifically in the type of situation where you're over water. And that was called kalu sheikilu chachamim b'mayim, and you're allowed to use a mechitza tluya for drawing water through it. That was the simple case we had before. Now, we have a variation on that theme. And this mishnah we're going to have later. And the mishnah says like this. Suppose you have two of these balconies that are over the water in Venice. And they're alongside each other. But one is above and one is below. So then what happens over there is, if they did not make for a special refrigerator box hole for the lower one, and they did make for the upper one, and then neither of them are allowed to use the water by going through that hole. They have to make an Erev in order to be able to use it. Why is that? It must be because the upper people are using it b'shilshul to go down through the refrigerator box and then lower their bucket into the water to bring the water up. And the people on the lower mirpeset, the only way that they can use the hole is by first bringing their bucket up to the upper mirpeset and lowering it through that hole. And for them, it would be bezrika. As a matter of fact, it would be with a combination of zrika and shilshul, which is even worse, right? So even where we have a case where it's bezrika and b'shilshul, nonetheless, we say that it's considered to be equal access, and both of them are usher. So that is 100% of it's fantastic raya to Rav, because, I mean, even in this case where it's both bezrika and b'shilshul, so it's really inconvenient for the lower one, Shmuel would have said, look, I mean, for sure, in that case, we give it to the people that are b'shilshul. The din is that we do not, right? That's amazing. All right, so then we see from there that the halacha is that Enochinami, the raya is like Rav, says the Gemara, not necessarily. It may be talking about a case where ba'in b'nei tachtona derech elyona limalot. Maybe we're not talking about the case that you're assuming. Maybe there's like a little ladder between these two gizus tra'ot, these two balconies over the water. And that means that they don't need to be zorek. What they do is they walk up their little ladder and they use it directly. And therefore, if they do that, of course, they're for sure they both have equal access. And then obviously it's going to be us. So that would be true even according to Shmuel, because they're both the same. Now, we recognize that this is a bit far-fetched. So Abaye has a much more powerful answer. And his answer actually opens our minds to a completely new situation. And that is this. Remember that this entire idea of lezev v'noach v'lezev v'dochak is a din derabbanan, that even though, technically speaking, you have two people with access to the same area, and that would be part of the general gezeira derabbanan, that wherever you have You have access of two groups, people who didn't make an Eruv with each other. We view that as Rishus HaRabim. The Rabbanan made a special takana, and they said, let's give it to the one to whom it's more convenient, right? That's like a special din. I mean, it's not really closer to them in any way. It's that we've decided that they're the ones that are going to be using it and not the other ones. Now, what Abaya says is fascinating, that yes, you can say that kind of thing. But in order to say that kind of thing, the two Rishuyot that you're talking about, the two Chatzerot that have this access, they at least need to be very clearly differentiated one from the other with a mechitza. So like we had in the case where we had like two separate Chatzeros, we had the wall between them, and then one of the Chatzer has like a staircase leading to the top that gives them a little bit closer access, which became a petach, that type of thing. Or the case where we had the Charitz that was between them. They're totally and clearly separated. Over there, we give it to the one that's easier only when they're separated. But Abaya says, if the two Rishiyas themselves are not well separated from each other anyway, so let's say that the bottom and the top are actually related to each other within 10 tefachim, so that they're not really very well separated from each other. And then when you want to give them an access to another rishus that is neither of them or is both of them, there you can't just grant it to one or the other, because the one and the other themselves are not really well differentiated. Okay, so maybe that's the pshat. And it's talking about that the two of them are within 10 tefachim of one another. Tremendous chiddush. V'lomi boika amar. So then, of course, you've got a problem. I mean, if that's the case. So I understand up until now, why did we talk about the case where there was the refrigerator box on the upper balcony, not on the lower balcony? That was an amazingly important piece to know. Why? Because it was that alone that made it clear to us that if to one of them it's Bishilshul and the other one is Bezrika, and you would have thought that there's a din of relative ease, Kamashmon, there's no din of relative ease, right? Okay. But according to Abaya, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. And therefore, according to Abaya, what would be the main point of the Mishnah to teach? The main point of the Mishnah to teach is that wherever you have two non-differentiated rishuyos, that the halacha is that you cannot utilize the Rabbanan's idea of granting access to one and not the other, right? So then why in the world did we mention the upper one? That just confuses us. Abaya could have said the lower one. No, I mean, either one. He should have just said one of them represent has the refrigerator box and the other one doesn't. So according to Abaye, then the Mishnah's case doesn't seem to make any sense. So this is what Abaye now has to tell us. I'll explain it to you, says Abaye. It does make sense. Why? Because the Mishnah is telling us not only in the case where it would have been more obvious when the refrigerator box was put on the lower Mirpeset and they did not make for the upper Mirpeset, that over there, for sure they're usher. Why for sure they're usher? Because in that case, they're also because they're within 10 tefachim of each other. And over there, it's clear that even the downstairs wouldn't be able to use it, because they wouldn't have been able to use it even if Abaya was wrong. It's not teaching me the thing of Abaya, because both of them would be using it b'shilshul. So, you know, it's usher, whether it's like Abaya or not like Abaya. There's two people using the same hole, using the same refrigerator box, and therefore it's usher. The Chiddush, the Mishnah is trying to say, but even in the case where they made it Le'el Yonah and the refrigerator box was only accessible to the upper one. So over there, I might have thought that Kivan de Lezeb Nachat Lezeb B'Kasha, maybe we should give it to the one Shetashmisho B'Nachat like Shmuel. Kamash Malan, that you never can give something if it's within 10 tefachim. And to that, Shmuel would even agree. So if the two Rishiyas aren't well distinguished from each other, none of this halacha of granting soul access applies. That's the Chiddush. And I'll bring you a raya, says Abaya, that I'm right. And that when you have a confusion of an access to a space that is not well differentiated, then you absolutely must have something that distinguishes the space in order to make it that they won't osir on each other. Now, the problem in the next case is that it does not fit any of the criteria that we've been talking about throughout this Masechet. And it's absolutely a mind-boggling case that raises all kinds of serious problems, each and every one of which has to be dealt with, and the Rishonim deal with it in different ways. What Abaye is about to talk about is a case where we don't have an area that's contested, so to speak, between two chatzeros. We have an area that is accessible to people from the Rishus HaRabim, which completely changes all of the parameters, right? I mean, first of all, the case, as we're going to see, let's talk about the case. The case was a case that Reb Nachman quoted Shmuel about, okay? And it's talking about like this, a weird case. You have a roof, and this roof has actually, it's right next to Rishus HaRabim, but the thing is that off of this roof, there's a mirpeset, right? And between the roof and the Rishus HaRabim, we have this like nice little portico that people like to use. And then if you want to make it that you're allowed to carry between the roof and the mirpeset, you have to put a permanent sulam there. So if you need, if you have a sulam kavua, tzarich sulam kavua lahatiro, you put the sulam there permanently, and that shows between the people on the second story and the roof, and that shows that the roof is miyuchad for the people on the second story. You see from there that if you don't have that permanent ladder that makes the shimush of that roof for them to be mamish petach into the rishus, that we would not allow them to use that roof on Shabbos and to carry from their houses to the roof and so on and so forth. Now, why is that? Apparently because that they have this little mirpeset on the bottom that is within 10 tefachim of the rishus HaRabim, and that would allow the people from the Rishus HaRabim to use that area. How the heck would it allow the people from Rishus HaRabim to use the area? The whole thing is so weird. I mean, if the Mirpeset has a railing, sorry. Yeah, if the Mirpeset has a railing around it, right? Which, I mean, L'chorin has to have, otherwise B'chol, it's not a separate rishus, right? Because it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. So if it's got a railing around it, so then how in the world do the B'nai Rishus HaRabim, how are they able to get into that mirpeset? I mean, let's say that they have a gateway to the Rishus HaRabim, right? But whoever heard of people from a Rishus HaRabim ossering people in the Rishus HaYochid? I mean, if that's true, then we should say every chatzur is osser because there's an opening into the Rishus HaRabim and people are walking by and like, what's going to prevent them from coming inside? I mean, what is that supposed to mean? We never have such a thing at all, anywhere. Whoever heard of such a thing? B'nai Rishus HaRabim osser or mavui? I mean, the halacha is that, remember, only indigenous people are considered to be, we've seen that again and again, only indigenous people are considered to be diurin in a rishus that we have to take into consideration. The fact that we had crazy cases where the road goes through and people are cutting through and so on, even that we said wasn't going to damage the rights to carry there because they don't have any real rights. So why over here, if we have a normal chatzur l'mavoi is certainly not asur, so why in this case would the roof be usher if it's used privately? So that's the first problem. I mean, forget about who gives them the right. That's another problem. Aren't they like invading somebody else's rishus? But I mean, over here, it's clearly delineated as Rishus HaYachid, and the area outside is a Rishus HaRabim. And just because between those two rishuyos, you have a mirpeset that is able to be accessed by both of them, why in the world would we say that the roof is considered to be us? Okay, so there are a number of terutz. The one that most of the Rishonim accept is that a roof is different. And it's not the same as a chatzar. It's not the same of the mavoi. And that's because its usage is not the same. In other words, people will use the chatzar all the time. They'll use the mavli all the time. And that gives them a specific type of diur, which means that non-indigenous people are not considered to be in any way significant in terms of the usage. But when we're talking about a roof, I mean, how often do people go up to a roof, right? It's not the kind of thing that, all right, so maybe somebody wants to go sunbathing or something, so we'll go up to the roof. So over there, even the usage of the indigenous people is so limited that over there, you can't say that non-indigenous usage is going to be insignificant. It may even be more significant than the use of the people that live there. And that's why the case of Reb Nachman Amar Shmuel is a case that is limited specifically to a roof as opposed to a chatzar, where indeed it would have been laughable. There's absolutely no such halacha by a chatzar. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you need to explain to me how the heck people who don't even have a right to come in. And remember, we said that if you can stop people from coming in, remember we had that halacha, that even in a case where people do come, remember we were talking about a case where somebody owns that rishus, and he would be able to put up a sign, no trespassing, and then everybody would have to stop, then that's not considered to be the kind of usage that would aser. So who gave the Bnei Rishus or Rabbim over here the rights to use this? Anybody that is a Polish, and that he's doing something that's usher, for sure doesn't have the ability to usher something. We're going to see that later on beferish in the course of this week. So isn't this basically usher usage? So for that, we're going to have to say that we're talking about a case where the rabbin has established their usage over time. And remember that we had that general rule that if you have an area that the rabbin had been using, once the Rambam establishes usage to a thing, you can no longer stop them. So that's the idea even in a Sada. And that gives them, because of a special halacha for Rambam, it gives them the right to use it. Therefore, there's no way for you to stop them on Shabbos. So this would be the equivalent of that type of usage. Now, my raya, says Abaya, is you see from here that since there's no clear-cut delineation between the Rishuyot, and since the Mirpeset and the Rishus HaRabim are within 10 tefachim of each other, I would not be able to use that Mirpeset if I hadn't established that it is shayach to the people that are going down to the roof from the houses. Says Rav Papa, boy, I don't know. There's a lot of loose ends on this. Look, how do you know? I mean, maybe it's talking about over here. The deal mekisharabim mechatfim alav. Bekumta Visudra. I mean, maybe the case over there of Shmuel. Remember, there's different type of usages. If you're talking about the usage where people utilize an area for their masa'ot. Now, if you're talking about masa'ot, then the only thing that we said, you've got a heavy backpack. The only thing that we said is going to relate to a heavy backpack in Rosh Hashanah would be not that you've got, let's say, a wall next to Rosh Hashanah you can put your backpack up on. It needs to be within 9 tefachim so that you can turn around and lower your backpack on it because it's heavy. And to use something that is above that is called bezrika, and it's difficult to put a backpack up there. So I need to have it convenient to me, right? So I understand that that's what you were assuming, but that's not the only use that people have of a tall area. Now think to yourself, where's the one place where the tall area is the easy use? I'll tell you, when you want to take your hat and put it somewhere, right? So imagine here you are in Rosh Hashanah. It's a boiling hot day. You've got this hat on you with this all in those days. You've got this turban. It's going, you got your tallis. Oh my, it's just so hot. You want to get a little air into your hair. So what do? You take off your hat. Where are you going to put your hat? You always take your hat. You put it up on top somewhere, right? Okay, so that's what you're doing. The people are walking by. You're right. They can't put their backpack on it, but they can put their hat on it. So maybe that's what we're talking about over here. People walking by will actually use the roof because it's easy for them as a parking spot for their hat for 5 minutes while they let the nice cool air get into their hair, right? So then in that case, it would be considered to be noach, both the same as the roof to the people on the Mirpeset or as the people in the Rosh Hashanah. And maybe that's what he's talking about. So then that wouldn't prove the idea that the only reason that they aser on each other, unless we have that clear-cut direct betach, maybe in this particular case, it's not because of abaya that anything that is within asara tvachim is not considered to be differentiated, to be zoichet lezeh benachas. It's rather because in this particular case, for both of them, it would be benachas, in which case everybody would be meida, and therefore we do not have any raya to the machlokas of Rab and Shmuel.